return this chair. Okay, we all ready? Today we're going to talk about the civil rights movement.
Frank, I'm waiting for you downstairs. Did you see the new entries of the lyrics?
Yes, sir.
No, I haven't seen the lyrics.
PSYTblog.com.
Who are the lyrics?
I don't remember.
President.
I don't want to set this up.
A lot of these songs were sung in a situation where people's lives were at risk. And Fannie Lou Hamer really describes this very, very well. You know, their lives were at risk. These were freedom riders, people riding through the South during the 1950s and early 60s, trying to get their rights, running up against the Ku Klux Klan and state troopers with police dogs, state troopers with billy clubs, beating on people, people with, those water hoses, the fire department water hoses,
water cannons,
which can basically knock you clear across the road. Maybe you break an arm or a leg or smash your head on the ground in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, so much water coming at you, just like
water from
all you over. Like a tidal wave of water just knocking you wherever. Taking the skin off your bones, exactly. And these people were afraid. These people were marching for their rights and they were scared for their life.
I mean, you can see the look on the faces of the people here. It's like they're at a demo, but they don't know what to expect.
She does not look happy.
No. And this continues to happen until today. For whatever causes that people are fighting for, even if you go to protest against, say, a Republican National Convention, you never know when you're going to be scooped up out of the street and brought to jail.
Assume this position.
Yeah. So
a lot of times they sang these songs. You may think that these are just songs.
1969.
Oh, for you?
These are not just songs. These songs are powerful medicine for the soul. Powerful medicine for the courage. Fannie Lou Hamer used to sing songs like this. And Christian hymns like This Little Light of Mine, and Go Tell It on the Mountain. And she'd be sitting on a bus of protesters, a busload of protesters, going through the South. People would be scared for their lives, and she'd sing these songs, and everybody would feel calm. Everybody would feel better. These songs have the power to them. These songs have great power to them.
Underneath that picture of an album that has many of these songs, voices of Son Ratchet, volume.
Good.
But no link to Amazon.com.
Freedom. I'm it's a very simple construction. This song is a very simple construction. It has a lot of repetition. A lot of repetition. It's only, each verse only has that one part that's different. Like in this one, it's no more slavery, no more slavery, no more slavery over me. This one is, they'll be singing over me. They'll be dancing over me. Just one word is changing on each one of those.
No more bullwhips. No more Jim Crow.
Remember we talked about Jim Crow?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Jim Crow was, after Reconstruction, allowed a lot of freedom to come in, and African Americans were getting elected to Congress and getting elected to state government, and even in some cases running for president, running for vice president. All of this freedom happened. People were allowed to vote for the first time. Then came Jim Crow to crush down all those rights and turn the clock back.
He's grimy.
Huh?
He's grimy.
I'm here.
He's grimy?
Yeah. Yeah, he was grimy.
Well, Jim Crow is actually like almost like a mythical figure.
Yeah.
He's like
actual.
A caricature or a stereotype. Let me show you. This was a Jim Crow image that.
The cartoon.
Where? Yeah.
It's a cartoon. Yeah.
The term Jim Crow is believed to have originated around 1830 when a white minstrel show performer named Thomas Daddy Rice blacked his face with charcoal or burnt cork and danced a ridiculous jig, that's a dance, while singing the lyrics to the song Jump Jim Crow. Rice created this character after seeing a crippled elderly black man dancing and singing the song ending with these chorus words. Wheel about and turn about and do just so. Every time I wheel about, I jump Jim Crow.
What does that mean? You jumping?
What?
No, not jump. Jump like do the dance.
Oh.
They're basically making fun of African Americans here.
Why?
The way they talk, exaggerating the way they talk, making them sound terribly ignorant, making them sound terribly illiterate. But of course, there were laws that prevented them from being allowed to learn how to read. There were laws against reading. Hello?
Wow.
Could you imagine a law making it illegal to read? You were not allowed to read. And if somebody taught you how to read, not only your trouble, but the person who taught you to read is in trouble too.
Well, could you?
Say that again. If you want to learn to talk, you have to read. Well, if you want to read, you have to learn how to talk first. Then
how to read, and then
the
father
said, "Yeah,
what you can't."
Should we do the other song?
Okay. Yes.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around.
These songs have power. You know, when you're all singing together in a situation like that, it gives people hope, it gives people strength.
I've heard other people sing it during different times in American history, like Joan Baez sang during the Nixon and Vietnam era, and she included their names in the song.
And when a letter should mix in
Nixon,
right?
Isn't
there
a president?
Segregation.
Yeah.
A segregationist. He separated people. Wanted to keep black people down. Yep.
A Klansman.
A Klansman?
Yeah.
A Klansman. Does anybody know what a Klansman is?
Yeah.
Oh, four years. Oh, what is the KKK? What is the Ku Klux Klan?
They were teachers, nurses,
or active civil rights activists.
Or civil rights activists. So if you were one of these people that, and you were white, you were coming from the north to help the black community, they hung you up in a tree too.
Some lady got hung up.
Oh, yes.
I think we showed an image like that. Did you say that they were, the one was a woman? I don't recall that. KKK. How many of you have ever seen a movie called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Sounds like Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, kind of like D.W. Griffith's movie.
Yes. And you said you didn't prevent that from happening, like to make it a big group or something like that?
Yeah, he can't want to. Who's the star?
So much people.
Yeah,
who's the
adventurer? Who's the old kid? Who's the old kid? Who's the
old kid?
He says that there are too many people in the Ku Klux Klan to stop them.
They could call the SWAT team because who are the
people? They could call the SWAT team. That's a good idea.
Because whoever made it up
Well, you know, there's a lot of people living in the United States. Does anybody know how many people live in the United States? Let's see, we'll get some new hands up. How about you and Beth? How many people live in the United States of America?
1 billion.
1 billion? Okay. Anybody have another idea?
3 billion?
3 billion?
No, what?
Okay. Somewhere in between is about the right number. Did you say
24,640.
Oh, is that the bottom line? Okay, that's on the screen. Can anybody read that number?
Wait,
how about Donford? Okay, let's just round it off. 300 million. Does anybody know what a million is? Anybody have an idea what a million is? George, you know what a million is?
Yeah.
A million.
A lot of money.
It's a lot. If it's money, it's a lot. If you take $1,000 and you make a pile of you got 10 $100 bills.
Yeah.
That's $1,000. And you make a second pile of $1,000 and a third pile of $1,000. How much you got now? 3,000? Okay, then another pile of $1,000. That's one. And if you make 1,000 piles of $1,000 each, that's $1 million. That's 1,000. It's 1,000 piles of $1,000 each. 1,000 times 1,000. You just take 1 times 1, and you add all those zeros. The 3 zeros from the first 1,000, and the 3 zeros from the other 1,000. You have 1 with 6 zeros after it. 1,000 piles of $1,000. Okay? This is 300. million people. How many people are in the Ku Klux Klan? Nobody knows. Maybe Frank could bring up some information about how many people might be in the Ku Klux Klan. Because I guarantee it is nowhere near 300 million. Well, let's see. Let's see what. The number of white supremacists.
I mean, there are different levels of racism, and I mean,
that's true.
They're not going to become a white supremacist. I mean,
that's true. Well, why don't you look up the Ku Klux Klan and see how many members there are?
Okay.
Now we're going to go door to door and knock on those people. I'm so pleased to meet you. I know you're a racist and I know you're a suppressor.
They didn't even call themselves a
suppressor. I just want to say hello. I'm not a bad person.
They're all kind of splinter groups now.
That's true.
Groups that just broke off from the Ku Klux Klan.
That's because the Ku Klux Klan cannot get along with itself. White supremacist groups in the United States. 50,000. That's a lot. But, you know, if you arrested the leaders, most of the people under them would just fold like a $3 bill. You know, once you arrest the leaders, well, you know, they'd have to do like a little detective work, and FBI would have to come in and find out. And then, you know, the police or the National Guard to come in and arrest these people. Well, that's true. But if you keep arresting the leaders, people eventually get the message, we are not going to tolerate violence. And people stop going because they're afraid of going to jail. Who made up the Ku Klux Klan?
It's 1.66% of the United States population.
Oh, a little over 1.5% of the whole country. That's not too bad. I'm sure they also have
a swing vote.
It could be a swing vote. How many African Americans are there in the United States of America? Do you know, George? How many? Gee, I think there's 2.4 million in New York City. Or New York State, anyway. I think there's more than that in the country.
Los Angeles?
I think there's probably about 40.
Yeah, 40 million.
See if we can find out here. Mr. John is doing human work, researching figures and facts. What's this? African Americans in the United States.
2000.
In 1860, just before the Civil War, there was almost 4.5 million African Americans at that time. That's about 150 years ago. Today, well, the last figure they had was 2000, that's 9 years ago. 36.5 million people. 36.5 million people.
Say it's 40 million now.
By now it must be 40 million.
So you divide 40.
Frank is doing such a
4, 5, 6.
40 mathematical
hoodoo.
I think you had too many zeros in 340.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's 40 million. Divided by 300.
That should be right.
It's 13%.
13%, yeah. 13% of the whole population is African American.
It's not a lot, so obviously that's...
Well, you know, it is a lot when you compare it to the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
And the original question by Oliver was, are there too many members of the Ku Klux Klan to do anything about it? What do you think?
No, that probably has gone down.
The Ku Klux Klan,
as opposed to going up.
I wonder why. Why do you think that is? Has the Ku Klux Klan seen its best days behind it? Are its best days behind it? How about you for a change?
Well, what do you think is more effective, police, or possibly what?
Change of heart.
Change of heart. And how does a change of heart occur? What happens to people when they get a change of heart? But what happens to people when they have a change of heart? What happens to their life? Okay, we get to the beginning. A lot of times, discrimination and prejudice comes from a place in people's lives that we call ignorance. Because they're not educated, or they have no real connection to the people that they actually think they hate.
They hate something and they don't know anything about it.
But I think over time, everybody in this country is realizing that somewhere in their family, there are family members, what have you know. There are, and that goes for all people who are different. It takes time for ignorance to change, and I think education is really the key.
Education. And getting to know people. Once you get to know somebody personally, you begin to see, hey, they're not monsters, they're not savages, they're not violent people, they're not crazy people, they're just people. You know, and that's one of the things that was helped a lot by famous African Americans over time.
Television,
certainly, and radio.
Yeah.
You know, and movies. You know, people would turn on the television screen or turn on the radio in the old days, or you know, go to the movies and they would see Louis Armstrong or Bessie Smith. Or Nat King Cole, Diane Carroll, or Sidney Poitier, who was the first African American to receive an Oscar for a movie.
Actually, first man.
Who was?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Hattie
McDaniel.
Oprah.
Today, people like Oprah. What was that?
Joe Frazier.
You sounded a little bit like Joe Frazier when you said that.
Let's
just Like how he said it when he said, I'm going to knock out Muhammad Ali. All these people contributed, you know? And even before radio, huh? Can't hear
you.
They all, you know what? They all helped out and go.
Succeeded.
A lot of them did. Certainly all these people that were mentioning were tremendous successes. But they, as well as gain fame and fortune, they also changed the mindset. They changed the heart, in your words. They changed the heart of a lot of Americans who didn't know any better. People who were ignorant. People who had never met an African American. Now suddenly they were listening to Louis Armstrong play the trumpet and sing, or Bessie Smith, or Nat King Cole, or they were seeing Jack Johnson or Joe Louis, or Jackie Robinson. And you know who these guys are, right? How many of you know who Joe Louis is? You guys don't know who Joe Louis is?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
No, Joe Louis.
He was an athlete?
No, he was an athlete.
Boxer.
He was a heavyweight boxer. George sparred with him for 15 rounds.
Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson was the heavyweight champion of the world. Joe Louis, heavyweight champion of the world.
Bronx Bomber.
The Bronx Bomber. The Brown Bomber.
Brown Bomber.
The Brown Bomber.
He got all his money. Frank Sinatra gave him the
Frank, he's a very good friend of Frank Sinatra. Yes. Goes right back to what Frank was saying about education.
I think they get racist when they go home with slaves or they didn't work or nothing. I mean, and I think that they don't want to do it because they don't want to be racist. They don't want to be racist. They don't want to be racist. They don't want to be
racist. Does anybody know who this guy is?
Yes, Jesse.
How do you know that? Says on the bottom. You might want to look up about all these guys and find out something about them. Louis Armstrong here, one of my idols. She ran for president about, I don't know, 60 years. Racism and about what we're going to do about it all. Pretty amazing stuff.
What about that?
Captured on WBAI and preserved in history.
Maybe we could.
Maybe we could. Does anybody feel like reflecting today on what we discussed? Anybody have any reflections?
So why don't we have a writing up, folks?
The box of news.
And write a couple of
Sugar Ray Robinson?
Yeah, I'm too.
Huh?
I'm too.
What was that?
Sugar Ray?
Yeah.
He was a great, he was considered possibly the greatest fighter, pound for pound, like taking into account the size of him. He was smaller than the guys like Joe Lewis. So pound for pound, they considered him the greatest fighter. Oh yeah, is he Sugar Ray Robinson?
Yeah.
You're not talking about Sugar Ray Leonard.
Huh?
Well, Sugar Ray Leonard is still alive. He's a relatively young guy.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray Robinson has been dead for probably 25 years. Who remembers? Huh? Winky Wright.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think he's considered to be any kind of a civil rights figure. Was he? Winky Wright? I think Winky Wright was like a lightweight. I don't think he's taking on Muhammad Ali.
Yes, he did.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But Sugar Ray Robinson was an important figure. He was a very popular bumpweight champion and middleweight champion, and actually fought for the light heavyweight championship in the world. He was winning that fight for about 13 rounds and he collapsed because of heat exhaustion. He was winning that fight.
Winky Water.
I think he's talking about Winky Wright. Rocky Balboa?
Yeah,
he was saying
he
ate
them all.
We're just sending it to a whole man's land of like conversation about people, but there are a lot of people out there, some real and some mythic, some real and some fake, who have been important figures in American history, but I don't think Winky Wright is particularly one of them. But certainly, Sugar Ray Robinson was. In the civil rights movement, I think Sugar Ray Robinson was important because he made a lot of fans, both white and black. Yes, Sugar Ray Robinson was a very, very popular figure in America in the 1950s and 40s, even in the 60s.
Who was born?
Our spirit. I'm logging now to our comments page.
Yay!
Comments
so
page.
We can start getting out our writing notebooks and get a couple of thoughts down on paper, reflecting on today.
That'd be great.
Reflecting on freedom fighters. We talked about KKK, we talked about
we should mention A. Philip Randolph. A. Philip Randolph was a union leader. would be, he was the leader of the movement, the railroad, the porters. They worked on the trains, but he was very important because he was the he was the president of the largest union of African Americans in the country. And he was very important to the March on Washington in 1963, where Martin Luther King delivered the speech, "I have a dream." Where's Waldo?
Cheryl called this morning and said,
"How do I do that?"
I'd like to tell you a little bit about John Lewis.
Lincoln.
If you're writing, just keep right on writing. If you're not writing, my mom was just like that and I get the same. John Lewis was heading to the champion of the world.
It was a high zero school video.
But before he became heavyweight champion of the world, he was knocked out by a German by the name of Max Schmeling. Schmeling knocks him out. And they're fighting, yes. Knocked him out. But because Schmeling was a German, Hitler was in power in Germany, Schmeling didn't get a chance right away to fight for the title. And Joe Louis got a chance to fight for the title. He knocked out. So they had a rematch.
I'm not a fool. I'm smarter than you.
Right on the eve of World War II. You know, World War II, Germany, the Nazis, Adolf Hitler, and Max Schmeling was a German. And even though Max Schmeling wasn't a Nazi, Max Schmeling, to the American people, represented Adolf Hitler. And everybody in America was rooting for Joe Louis, even though he was a black man. And even though he was fighting a white man, Max Schmeling, who had beaten him before, a very great fighter. And everybody was rooting for Joe Louis. And Joe Louis came out, and he knocked out Max Schmeling in the first round. Gave him a horrific beating. And America was very happy. And right after that came World War II. And Joe Louis was a great hero to the American people. He gave America hope that they could defeat the Nazis, who were a very real threat to the world. Some Americans were rooting for a black man for the first time in their life. Some were rooting for a black man for the first and the only time in their home. Yeah. Ah, we have some lyrics here. We have some lyrics here. All right, we have some lyrics here. You want to read them out loud? No? Can I read them silently? Oh, you don't need it? Okay.
No.
Go ahead. Everybody, give your attention to what you're on. Duffer has something. You want to read that? Having a little trouble focusing on this, but it looks like it says, I was a slave. Is that right? Man, I can't. You made that up? You guys really small, aren't you? You have to read it in a loud voice. Yeah, it's hard to read. It's kind of small.
That's how to read it. Fred, Anthony.
Fred is entering in some letters.